joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem.
Hallelujah. Have your way. sing holiness.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Oh, it is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want for me. Take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours
just a portion of my heart, but God, even the deep wells of my heart, God, would you just pour into your springs of living water, Heavenly Father. God, overflow it until I'm standing in a flood of your joy and a flood of your love, Lord Jesus. Would you just open up my heart? Do what you will, God. Hallelujah. Have your way. Hallelujah. 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 Would you just begin to worship him in your own way? Begin to speak to your Savior and your King. Just worship him.
I'm gonna give you all of me. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Again, church, brokenness.
Brokenness, brokenness is what I long for. Brokenness is what I need. Brokenness, brokenness is what you want for me. Yeah.
Lift up your hearts, lift up your voices.
So take my heart and form it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to yours, to yours.
Sing that again.
And take my heart and fold it. Take my mind, transform it. And take my will, conform it to yours, to to you.
to yours, my Lord, to yours, to yours, my Lord. So take my heart and fold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my time, church, dedicated to yours, to yours, my Lord. All together, to yours, to
Heavenly Father, that's our heart's desire, is to be like you, holy and pure. Transform us, work in our lives, make us more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Worship team, prayer teams, you can be seated. I'm going to steal a word from Karen's vocabulary. This is so cool. I'll sit right here. Thank you again, everybody. Really special. Little church business I want to go over with you before we get into the message for today. First of all, I want to let you guys know how much I appreciate you and thank you. Our church supplied food and Christmas presents to two families as of last Sunday for Christmas, and we are just so I'm so blessed to have people like you in my congregation, and you guys are awesome. You guys came through again, even when some people in this room are going through tough times themselves. You still gave above and beyond, and we provided Christmas dinner and presents for two families whose kids attend Coronado right here. So we are impacting our immediate community for God's kingdom, and that just makes me happy. You guys are awesome. Also, Karen mentioned in her announcements the parade next Saturday, the Oro Valley Holiday Parade. We're going to send out details later in the week in an email. So if we don't have your email address, if you haven't been getting emails from us and you want information about the parade, pull out the communication card, put your email address on there, and drop it in the offering plate at the end of the service. We'll get you into our email list. We're going to send you information about where and when we want to meet. We need a lot of people out there, because not only do we have the float, but we also have people that are supposed to be following behind the float with candy canes that have little papers stapled to them that are going to let people know information about Pathway of Hope. So we want to get our name out there. We want to impact our community for Christ. We are one of the only floats in the parade that is going to be Jesus-centered. You know, it's called the Oro Valley Holiday Parade, but we want Jesus to be the focal point of that parade, whether they like it or not. So there's that. So we'll send you information later on in the week about where and when to meet for that. Also, next Sunday, if you've been here over a couple of years span, you know that every December there's a marathon that ends here at Coronado. That is next Sunday. So next Sunday, be prepared. Leave plenty of time to get to church because there's going to be traffic delays. There's going to be parking delays. We are supposed to have this entire parking lot reserved for our church. There's going to be a guy there, you know, with cones, and he's going to be letting people in. If you all you do is you drive up to the cones and you let him know you're with the church, and he'll let you right in and you can park. Okay, but we want to let you know. Leave plenty of time next Sunday to get to church because it's going to be a little bit not so. Okay. But I want you here. Don't use that as an excuse to stay home. Yeah. So, first thing I want you to do this morning is pull out your note sheet. It says, wise men still seek him. If you have a pen or a pencil, I want you to take that pen or pencil and I want you to scratch out that title. Just put a big X over it, cross it out, just get rid of it. I had this really great sermon planned and prepared and everything was, it wasn't my best work, but it was serviceable. It was going to be a good message on the wise men I was tell the story about the wise men coming to visit Jesus and how they were seeking him and how we need to be seeking Jesus in our own lives, right? And how about how they were obeying God by not going back to King Herod after they found Jesus. You know, I was going to tell this big sermon on this stuff. I had it all prepared. It was great. And then 11 o'clock last night, God kind of pinged me on the shoulder and he said, no, I want you to do something else. So, I'm practicing what I was going to preach, I'm going to obey, and I'm going to say what he wants me to say, because I think that's important. So, what God has asked me to say today, I hope will set you free from some bondage that may be going on in your life. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. It's also on the screen behind me. Give you a second to get there. First Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. This has been on my mind all week. God's been preparing me for what he was going to do last night at 11 o'clock. I just didn't know what he was doing. It says this, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he called you as holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. God says, be holy because I am holy. That's a strong statement, isn't it? Us, as humans with a sin nature, we're not going to be perfect. We're going to fail sometimes. We're going to mess up. Sometimes when I read this passage, it depresses me. Because I can't meet that standard. I can't be holy because God is holy. I can't get there. Every time I sin, I miss that mark. And it depresses me. It frustrates me. It makes me angry at myself. Makes me want sometimes to just give up. Throw in the towel. I can't meet that standard, so why bother trying? I can't be holy. Holiness is perfection, and only God is holy. Every time that we sin, we are reminded that we're not holy. When we fail and fall short of holiness, the devil comes in and just tries to frustrate you, right? He whispers in your ear, you're not good enough. Who are you to call yourself a Christian? Who are you to call yourself a leader? Who are you to call yourself worthy of salvation if you can't even get the little things right? You're worthless. But this is what's going to set you free this morning. A lot of us view that phrase, be holy because I am holy. For a lot of us, it has become more of a curse. But I want to tell you, it's not a command. It's a promise. That's what will set you free from your bondage, beating up on yourself, the guilt that's dragging you down. Be holy because I am holy is not a command. It's a promise. In the Old Testament, Leviticus 19, verse 2, God says it. He says it in other places. In the Old Testament, it was a command. The Israelites were told, be holy because the Lord your God is holy. But they had sacrifices, they had the temple, they had priests, they had people that covered over that sin. In Romans chapter 7, Paul is talking and he says that the law, you know, the Old Testament, what that does is it brings sin to light. We wouldn't know that sin was sin if we didn't have the law telling us that that was wrong. So the law brings sin to light. So if you're trying to live by the Old Testament, by the commands, you're never going to meet that mark. You're always going to fall short. Even Paul said it. The greatest apostle in the New Testament said it. Later on in chapter 7, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I don't do, those are the things I want to do. It's my life story in Romans chapter 7. I don't want to do the things I do, and things I do, I don't want to do. And it's crazy. It's all mixed up. We can't meet that mark. Here's the key. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Jesus came and he took he made the commands in the Old Testament. He didn't make them an action issue. He made them a heart issue. He said, the Old Testament says don't murder, right? Well, I'm telling you, if you hate somebody in your heart, that's the same thing as murdering them. You're a murderer. He said, the Old Testament says don't commit adultery. Well, I'm telling you, if you look at a woman lustfully, if you fantasize about someone that's not your spouse, you are committing adultery. It's in your heart. That's what Jesus is saying. He didn't come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law, to build on it, to make it a heart issue. So that's what 1 Peter 1, verse 16 becomes, a heart issue. The wise men that I was going to talk about today, they were seeking God. They took years out of their lives to journey and find the Messiah. They were seeking Him. As we do that in our own lives, He will begin to transform us. To transform us, to make us more and more like Him. Just like the song that we just sang, Holiness, right? Take my heart and form it. And take my mind and transform it. And take my will, conform it to you. Make me more like you. That's what it means, be holy because I am holy. It's a process that we're all in the middle of. Sanctification, being made more and more like Christ. It's what it means to be a Christian, like Christ. So be holy because I am holy doesn't have to be a curse, something we can never live up to. but it's a promise. As we live in Him, as we seek Him, as we worship Him in our daily lives, He will begin the process of making us more and more like Him. Maybe heaven before we ultimately get there. Right? Because we're never going to be perfect while we're here. But what happens is when you mess up, when you find yourself falling into sin again, and you start to get that. You know the difference between guilt and conviction? I've told you this before at one point. Conviction is from the Holy Spirit, and it brings you closer to God. It's the Holy Spirit inside you saying, don't do that, shouldn't do that, shouldn't have done that. It's conviction. Guilt. If you're feeling guilt over your sin, that is the devil. It's the devil coming after you saying, you're not good enough. How dare you? It takes you farther from God because it makes you feel like you're not good enough. You're not worthy. You cannot. But the Holy Spirit inside you is bringing you closer to God. So you got it. When you find yourself falling, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, confess your sin, move on with your journey. Don't let the guilt from Satan drag you down. And as you do that, as you seek after God like those wise men did, as you seek after God, you'll find that those faltering steps, those times when you fail, tend to get a little fewer and farther between because God is in the process of making Him more and more like you. You'll find that the struggles that you had in a certain area may not be as difficult as they were in the past, those areas of temptation. Because God is working on you. He's transforming your mind. He's molding your heart to be more like Him. I feel like there's people here in our church body who are just getting beaten up because they keep failing and it's dragging them down. So I want to set you free this morning. Be holy because I am holy is a promise. And God does not fail on any promise. You will be made holy. But you got to let Him. You got to open the door. You got to open the door and say, God, come. I'm seeking after You. I want more of You, Lord. I want You to come in and transform me. You got to be willing to let that process begin. Are you willing? Set yourself free. Let God set you free through this promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your mercy and Your grace and the fact that You are working in each one of our lives to make us more like You. Heavenly Father, I think there's people in this room right now that are on the verge of giving up. They're getting beat up by the devil with their guilt over their struggles in their lives. And I know that that is not Your will for them, Father. You want them to live in freedom. Lord, I ask right now that You transform them by the renewing of their minds.
Set them free from the bondage of their guilt and their sin. And let them know how much you love them. Let them feel your arms wrapped around them right now. Set them free. Continue that process, Lord, of making each one of us more and more like you. I love you, Father. I love what you're doing in my life. I love what you're doing in this church. I love what you're doing in individual people's lives. I can see you working. Continue that process. In Jesus' name, amen.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want from me.
Sing that again, church. Holiness.
Holiness, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. It's what I need. Holiness, holiness is what you want.
Going to worship the Lord right now with his tithes and our offerings as well. Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless these tithes and offerings. Multiply them, Lord. Grow our church. Help us to make an impact in the world for your kingdom, Jesus, and in our own little community. In Jesus' name, amen.
So take my heart and fold me. Take my
church.
So take my heart and fold me. Take my mind and transform me. Take my will and conform.
church, to yours, to yours, to yours, my Lord, 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 to yours, to yours, my Lord, all to you, my King, to yours, my Lord. Ooh, yeah. One more time, church, just sing this out before we leave here today. Let's make this commitment. Holiness, God, it comes from you and you alone, Lord Jesus. And that we can receive that holiness by knowing you on a daily basis. From every day drawing closer to you in a relationship with you, Lord Jesus. That we can know the difference between condemnation and conviction, Lord Jesus, as Pastor Doug taught, Lord. And your word says, Lord Jesus, God. So, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, everyone here today, Lord Jesus, will understand this, and, God, that we would grow closer to you, God, that we would draw closer by having a close walk with you, Lord Jesus, every day, and that your holiness would pour out over us, God, that it would overflow the depths of our hearts, Lord Jesus, and leave us standing, God, in a flood, God, of your joy and of your holiness, Lord. So all together, church, can we stand up right now? We're going to sing this again. We're going to say, take my heart. Would you mean this from the depths of your heart? So take my heart, oh man. Take my mind, transform me. Take my will, conform me, yeah, to your. Lord, my, to yours, my Lord, to yours, my Lord, to yours, my Lord, to yours, my Lord.
In honor of this new gift that has my life verse printed on it, I want to dismiss you with that verse today. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, to him be glory in this church throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you.